This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Our scripture reading today is Genesis 2:24. Look what it says. It says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." Let us pray. Jesus, I pray today that you will make our tongue a ready writer's pen. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Lord Jesus, I pray a hedge of protection around the service. Bind any distractions, that the gospel may go forth with clarity. And for all you do, we're believing for a fruitful invitation. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I heard about a man who goes to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, I've got a serious problem." He said, "Tell me about the problem." He said, "Well, here's the problem." He said, "I think my wife is trying to poison me." He said, "Well, you've got a serious problem. That is really serious that your wife is trying to poison you." And he said to his administrative assistant, "Get this lady in here. Let me talk to her as quickly as possible. I really need to talk to her." And he brought the lady in, and about a week later, he met with the husband again, and he said, "Did you meet with my wife?" He said, "I did." He said, "I spent 3 hours, uninterrupted time with your wife, 3 hours. And he said, "Well, what advice did you give my wife?" He said, "Well, really, I didn't get to speak." But nevertheless, he said, "I spent 3 hours with her in a room." And he said, "Well, what advice would you give to me concerning the poison?" He said, "I would drink it. I really would. I would drink it." Now, this is what I know. There is 100% success rate in marriage if done God's way. I'm not here to beat anybody up, but there's 100% success rate in marriage if it's done God's way. Now, the scripture that we're going to preach from and study from in Genesis 2:24, unequivocally today, is for us. It says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." I unequivocally know that this scripture is for us. You said, "But Pastor Benny, he said it to Adam and Eve." Yes, but he didn't mean it for Adam and Eve. He meant it for us. You say, "How can you say that? How can you be so confident?" Well, think about it. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." Adam and Eve didn't have a father and mother. They didn't have a father and mother. They couldn't leave a father and mother. When you get to heaven, you say, "How will I know which ones are Adam and Eve?" They'll be the only ones in heaven who don't have a belly button. Amen? Some of you are slow, but anyway. Because they weren't born. They weren't born of a woman. But he said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." Now, what was so interesting to me, God said this here in Genesis 2:24. But God apparently wants us to get it. Because what God said in Genesis 2:24 and 25, Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. God said it. Jesus turns around and he says the very same thing. But get this, folks, this blows my mind. It's not enough that God said it. It's not enough that Jesus said it. The great apostle Paul, in Ephesians 5 and 31, he literally said the very same thing. God said, "I want you to get this, that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm so glad that you're preaching today because my marriage is sick. And a lot of marriages are sick. But Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent forth his word and he healed them. I want to tell you something. Lining up with the word of God will heal your marriage. You say, well, Pastor, it's worse than that. My marriage is not sick. My marriage is dead. Well, according to John chapter 11, verse 14, Lazarus was dead too. But Jesus resurrected him in John 11 and 43. And if God can resurrect a man from death, God can resurrect and give life to your marriage no matter what the situation is. Now get this. In Genesis 2, 24 and 25, there's four words that I believe God wants us to see. There are four words that God wants every couple to see. The first word is this. It's the word priority. Priority. Look what it says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Now I researched it. That doesn't mean to abuse or to abandon your father or mother. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches right the opposite, and I'll deal with that next week in Exodus 20 and 12 when he talks about how we ought to honor our mother and father. What's he talking about when he says leave? This is what it means. It means to relinquish the highest position of your commitment to your mate. It means to relinquish the highest position of commitment to your mate. See, God's word says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way they should go. Hey, I want to give you a news flash. They weren't meant to stay. They were meant to go. They weren't meant to stay. They were meant to go. And that 29-year-old that's in your bedroom and won't work and is playing video games, he's not meant to stay. He's meant to go to work and he's meant to get out of your house. You're welcome. Anyway, now wait. You're to leave mom and dad. The children are to leave you. But you and your mate are to be together. You and your mate are to be together. Now, the scripture says this in Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, now notice, not Dr. Phil. But this is God. God said it's not good that man ought to be alone. It's not good, you know. It's not good, and I'm not picking on anybody, but on a national average, married men live 7 years longer than single men. It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. When I first read that, I thought, that's a bad translation. Helpmeet. I thought, well, what it really ought to say, it ought to say, I'll make a helpmate, for him. Till I realized the Hebrew word there for helpmeet is nezer. Nezer. And from that word, you say, I've never heard of that. Well, from that word nezer, we get Ebenezer. I'll guarantee you in every town, no matter which town you're from, there's an Ebenezer Baptist Church somewhere. Ebenezer. You say, well, Pastor, where does that come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from 1 Samuel. The Israelites were battling the Philistines, and God sent a loud thunder from heaven, and it confused the Philistines. I mean, they went into chaos, and Israel won the war. And Samuel says, let's make a memorial right here. And this memorial, this place is going to be called Ebenezer. And the word Ebenezer means built with divine help. Built with divine help. God said, I want to give you an Ebenezer so you can build something with divine help. I want to give you somebody who's praised for you. I want to give you somebody who believes in you. I want to give you somebody who loves you and cares for you. I want to give you a Ebenezer. I want to give you a helpmeet, because I want you to be able to multiply. See, that's what a wife is. She's a multiplier. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. You give a wife a seed. You give a wife a seed, and she incubates it. And she multiplies it. And she hands you a baby boy or a baby girl. Because what she is, she's a multiplier. You can let a single man have a bachelor's pad that Tarzan would get hurt walking through. But you bring a wife into the scenario, and she puts furniture in it, and she puts decor in it, and she puts pictures on the wall. What is she doing? She's making that bachelor's pad into a home. She's making it into a haven. What is she, folks? She's a multiplier. See, God gives us women because there are multipliers. And whatever you give them, they multiply it. And if you give them trouble, they multiply it. What's the word? The word is priority. I'm talking about giving priority to one another. One lady said to me, she said, Pastor, my wife pays so little attention to me that if I died, he couldn't recognize the body. God help us. The first word is priority. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. But there's a second word I want you to see. It's not only priority, it's pursuit. Look what it says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Now, what does the word cleave mean? Here's what it means. It means to pursue her energetically and to cling to her for the rest of his life. What does it mean to cleave? It means to pursue one another energetically and cling to one another for the rest of our lives. There was a man in the Bible named Laban. He was somewhat of a businessman. And Laban had two daughters. One was named, the oldest was named Leah. And the youngest was named Rachel. Look what the Bible says about these girls. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. What does that mean, Pastor? Here's what it means. It means Leah had a real good personality. But Rachel was hot. And Jacob was born again, but he wasn't blind, amen? And he said, I'll tell you what I want. He said, I want Rachel. And Laban said, well, now you can have her, but let me explain something. You've got to work for me for 7 years. And literally, he worked for him for 7 years, and this is what the Bible says. It says, it seemed like a few days because he loved her so much. Yeah, and the ladies went, ah. It seemed like a few days. And look, the wedding came and the wedding night came. And let me tell you what Laban did. Instead of Rachel, it got dark. Instead of the hot one, he slipped the one in there with the good personality. And the next morning he woke up and he said, oh my goodness, this is not Rachel. I've got Leah. And he goes and he says, what? No, he said, no, so there's a problem here. I'm supposed to have Rachel. And Laban said, no, you can't have, the youngest can't get married before the oldest. And you gotta take the oldest first. You gotta take Leah first. He said, wait, I want Rachel. And this, I never noticed this, folks. He said, but you gotta work for me 7 more years. Now, I didn't understand this, and I've never noticed this before. I thought, well, after 14 years, he finally got what he wanted. After 14 years, he finally got Rachel. But folks, that's not how it happened. Look what the Bible says. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. He got her right then. He got her. But he had to work 7 more years to keep her. I thought, this is where we miss it. Folks, we get him and we get him, but we don't realize there's work involved in keeping them. See, we many times want to work till we get them, and we think our work's done. But marriage is continual work. It's continual pursuing. It's continue working on the relationship. Somebody said, what is love? Somebody says, love is a word composed of 2 consonants, L and V. 2 vowels, O and E. 2 fools, you and me, amen? And I've been doing this a long time. And I'm not here to beat people up. But people will say, I'm just not in love anymore. I'm just not in love anymore. And I just want to really quote the infamous Tina Turner. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Because, see, folks, we've missed it. We've come up with this concept that love is a feeling. We've come up with the concept that love is the tingles, and I don't have the tingles anymore. But listen to me closely. Love's not a feeling, because Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. And you can't command somebody to feel a certain way. I can't command you to feel a certain way. Love's not a feeling. Love's an attitude and an action. Love's an attitude. That's why the Bible teaches us in Titus chapter 2. It teaches for the older women to teach the younger women, a concept we need to get back to. The older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. See, I can prove from the Bible that love's not a feeling. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's not a feeling. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love's an action. Love is something you do. So, Pastor, what advice would you give us? 3 quick things right quickly. Number 1, when you think something good, say it. You say, well, I thought something good about my mate. Well, look here. When you think something good, say it. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. You say, well, I have good thoughts about him. No, it's not enough to have good thoughts. When you think something good, say it. I tell you a wonderful concept. You say, well, I tell him I love him. No, look here. Do this. I love you because. I love you because you've been committed to me. I love you because you've raised our children. I love you because you work so hard. I love you because. All I'm trying to say is when you think something good, say it, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Get real, folks. God created this world with words. If we don't think words matter, this world came into existence because of words. And I'll tell you, the words that you express in marriage will change your world. There's a second thing I'd say to you. When you think something special, do it. I thought about going home early from work. No, just don't think about it, just do it. I thought about sending flowers. No, don't just think about it, do it. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I can't afford to do it. Well, it's cheaper than divorce. And then the third thing I'd say, if you want something different, be it. If you want something different, be it. You be the best version you can be of yourself and let God work on them. You can't change them. You're not going to nag him into any change. The Bible says nagging's like a continual water faucet, just dropping water. It's not going to accomplish anything. If you want something different, be it. I want you to get these words, priority. I want you to get the word pursuit. But then there's a third thing I want you to do. I want you to get the word possessions. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Everything used to be separately, but now it's one. Now it's jointly. Everything is jointly. Do you realize, folks, even our bodies is jointly? God gave a provision for the needs of a man, and God gave a provision for the needs of a woman. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but he yields it to his wife. God said, you're no longer two, you're one. And we meet the needs of our mate. We meet the needs of our mate. Now, I understand, folks, that sometimes with men, I understand this, they can take everything in a sexual connotation. Everything. A wife says to the husband, honey, on my car, we need to rotate the tires. And he says, I'll rotate your tires. Look here. This is not the message, but let me tell you something. If your marriage is built solely on this, it will not last. That's all I'm going to say. You know, when it comes to our finances, you know, well, you say, well, it's mine and then it's thine. Well, when you're single, look here. And by the way, when you're single, folks, ladies, you don't have to submit to him. You have no reason to submit to him. Why would you submit to him? But when we get married, things change. Because it's no longer mine and thine, it's ours. I just challenge you, don't get married for money. You can borrow it cheaper. And then with our children, look here, folks, children. No, he's got two, I've got two. No, not anymore. You've got four. No, you don't. He doesn't have two and you have two. You've got four. I had a stepfather, and I would always, when my stepfather would step up, he would say, these are my two children. And then he would look over at me and he'd say, this is my stepson. And I felt less than my entire life. These are my children and this is my stepson. When all he had to say is, these are my children. Amen. See, folks, you don't have two and he has two. You got married. You all got four now. You just got that. It's that simple. See, there's four simple words. Priority, pursuit, possessions, and then lastly, purity. Purity. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, look what the Bible says. It says in verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. What's it saying? It's saying it was an atmosphere of total openness. There was total openness physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. There was total openness. There was an environment of openness. There was an environment of trust. But I want you to see what happened, folks. Genesis 3:7 says this. They sinned. And then in Genesis 3:10, they started hiding. They went from total openness. They went from vulnerability. They went from trust. They went from honesty to hiding things. What are you talking about, Pastor? You're not going to look at my phone. You're not going to see who I've been texting. You're not going to see who I've been talking to. No. I don't want you on my computer. It's very quiet in this Episcopalian church. They went from total openness to now we're hiding things. And if you want your relationship to be what it ought to be, it's when you have openness and honesty and transparency and vulnerability. See, I'm done. I promise I'm real close. It's 10 to 12 if you're on medication. There's five stages of marriage. Stage number one is the wonderful stage. It's the urge to merge. It's hormone heaven. I mean, it's the wonderful. But you move to the second stage, and that's the war stage. See, when you get married, the two become one, and you've got to find out which one. What started out as ideal turns into an ordeal. And before long, you're looking for a new deal. You say, well, young couples will say to me, old preacher, our marriage is made in heaven. So is thunder and lightning. Amen? So is thunder and lightning. But look, you don't stay there. You go to the third stage, and that's the wonder stage. You say, what do you mean by the wonder stage? The third stage, the wonder stage, is you're wondering, did I really make the right decision? Did I get in this relationship off rebound? Did I really think this out? Did I really pray this out? You're in the wonder stage. You're wondering about it. But then you get to the fourth stage. You're getting to the important place now. You get to the work stage. The work stage. See, relationships, they bring you the greatest pleasure, but they also bring you the greatest pain. Bobby Bowden, who's spoken here a couple times, I never will forget what Coach Bowden said. He said, commitment in marriage means being willing to be unhappy for a while. Somebody said, oh, God wants me happy. God's far more interested in you being holy than he is you being happy. It's we got to work at it. We got to work at it. And then lastly, folks, you'll reach the worth it stage. And you'll say, well, we had some battles along the way, but I'm so glad we stayed in the fight. Because it's really paying off now. I'm so glad. Did you know they said, folks, if you're in a, look, get me closely. Now, I'm not here picking up on anybody. But they said, if you're in a 20-year marriage and you divorce, it takes you 10 years emotionally to get past it. Whatever marriage you were in, it takes half of that marriage emotionally to get past it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm not picking on nobody. Look here, folks. Come up real close. You have a pastor today that the man who paid my way to go to college, when he married my mother, it was his fourth marriage. So if it wasn't for a man who'd been married four times, you wouldn't have a pastor today. Well, I wouldn't be here anyway. So I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm saying whatever you're in, stick in the fight. Stick in the fight. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. Nehemiah says, fight for your marriage. It's worth it. It's worth it. Don't throw in the towel. It's worth it. You know, a lot of times I've met my hero and I wished I had not. I meet them and I think, gosh, I would have enjoyed your books a whole lot better had I never met you. I'm serious. And as I've gotten older, I'm learning to keep my heroes real close to home. And one of my heroes real close to home is a man named Bob Bryant. Bob is listening today. He's in the Macon campus. He's listening. He and Betty, probably a year or so, better than a year ago, Bob was up here and he was in the foyer downstairs in the office area. And I walk out and Bob and Miss Betty are there in the foyer. Betty walks over to me and she says, she doesn't know who I am, but she says, is that man my husband? I said, yes, Miss Betty, he's your husband. And Bob looked at me, just eye to eye, and he said, Brother Benny, I made a commitment. I made a commitment. So she don't know she's in church today. But Bob gets up, dresses her, brings her to church every Sunday because he said, I made a commitment. And Bob, listen, if you're listening, you're still my hero. Here's what I know, folks. There's a 100% success rate in marriage. Whether you're in your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, matters not. If we just go from here and do it God's way.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.